Today on With Warm Welcome, we sit down with Ben O'Malley, who is a good friend of mine. We both went to NYU together, and she studied food and nutrition. Since then, she has become a registered dietitian and started her own health nutrition brand called The Wellful. We talk a little bit about the origin story behind The Wellful and how a coconut juice and her frustration with how that was being marketed really pushed her to start The Wellful, as well as talking about how hospitality ties into food and marketing.
So I grew up in upstate New York in a really small town called Liberty. My parents are both from Long Island, so we did like all of our holidays and stuff out there. But grew up in like this really small town. It was very small town living, basically. And I think small like teams in school and basic in that way. But I had like family in Long Island who were like more connected to like cities and stuff.
And where did you go to school? I know we both met at NYU, but before that, I know you transferred in. So
So I went to Binghamton, which is a school in a SUNY school in upstate New York. And I went there for my freshman year. Kind of was like all over in the application process and as I am with everything. And it wasn't my first choice, but my brother had gone there and it was like way cheaper than a lot of other schools. So kind of did that and wanted to be more in like marketing and business and they have a good business school. So that was kind of my initial thought. And I was kind of just a general gen ed major basically my first year. And then I actually got involved in Spoon. Started writing for Spoon
at that school
my spring semester there, and like had a blog myself. It was like so bad. It was called, I deleted all evidence of it on the internet, but it was called The Gluten-Free Jungle. How awful.
Gluten-Free Jungle.
And so I started like writing in food then, and that's kind of how I got. And then from there was an ad on their website for Green Mustache, which was my first internship.
Yeah.
So that's really how I got into New York. Moved to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Did a sublet, like had no idea what was going on.
For the summer.
For an unpaid internship,
Wow.
And then I ended up transferring to NYU that summer.
With Green Mustache, was that like a marketing internship or?
A brand ambassador. But it was like I showed up on the first day and it was the founder in the room in like a Regis office building, you know, and you just rent a space for the day because there's no physical office. So it was like, I showed up, it was me and another intern and the founder.
Yeah.
Her name is Van Trang and she's unbelievable, amazing. And so I just thought that was so cool. I like showed up the first day and it was like, this company is only this one person.
Yeah.
And she was running the show. And so that was like my first exposure to like startups and food business and marketing and all of that. So
I know you want to bury the hatchet here, but can we talk about Gluten-Free Jungle a little bit? Like what was the premise behind that blog, and do you have a gluten allergy, or tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I got involved. So my first exposure to nutrition, I grew up like cooking, like watching Food Network and like cooking all the time.
Okay, cool.
So I kind of grew up like cooking and being interested in food. And then in 10th grade, got really sick and like had a lot of like stomach issues, didn't know what was going on. Ended up going to a doc, like a lot of doctors, but I have celiac, runs in my family. They ended up being like, you know, like you likely have this too. We didn't do the official test, which is like the bane of my existence, which is an endoscopy that like is the official diagnosis, but kind of did like all other signs lead to this. Mm-hmm. So I have been on a gluten-free diet since then. Got a lot better, so much better. But that was really my first exposure to like what you eat, like the connection between like how you eat and how you feel, the connection between like understanding food allergies and like food labels and what's in your food. And that was really my first
exposure
to that. Yeah. And I saw a dietitian around that same time because of that.
Right.
And I thought she was like the shit. Like I thought she was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. She knew so much. She was so nice. I went to her office in Westchester and I was like, I never thought of it as a career, but I just knew I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
So that was really my first exposure to nutrition. And then from there, I was like, had to think about it all the time because like it was just, I had to know what was in food and like where to get certain things and like get creative with making gluten-free stuff, which 2010 was not cool. And in upstate New York, it wasn't cool. Like I would go to like our local like diner and be like, oh, I'll have like this without the bun. And they'd be like, oh, like on a diet? And I'd be like, no, like screw you. I just can't eat that. That was kind of my first exposure to that. And I guess that kind of did tie in because in high school, like, we had, like, speech classes. It was, like, a required class you had to do before you graduated. And I made all of mine into CNN. I was obsessed with CNN for some reason and Anderson Cooper. And I made all of my segments into, like, CNN, like, food specials. So I would a 15-minute speech, but it would be like how to make a smoothie or like how to cut a pineapple or anything like that. So I was kind of into that, but just thought of it as more marketing and food than nutrition.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
As a career.
So then when you transferred to NYU, was it where you pretty much decided on the fact that you wanted to pursue nutrition at that point? Or
yeah. Yeah. So I kind of started putting it together that summer. When I worked for Green Mustache, I wore a lot of hats, and I loved everything that I did for them. But I would be in stores and doing kind of like being like that annoying person who's like sampling you stuff. And so people would ask me so many questions. Oh, like how much sugar is in this or something. And it was just kind of like you realize that everyone had like conflicting information. So someone would come up. It was this green smoothie with like 2 cups of kale and spinach and like a serving of fruit, coconut water, chia seeds. So people would be like, oh, there's so many grams of sugar in this. And I'd be like, oh, but it's natural sugar from the fruit. And then some people like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. And then other people would be, oh, there's, why isn't there more protein in this? Or why is there any fruit in this? And like, everyone just kind of had their own like set of nutrition facts that they had, and they all conflicted. And it was just eye-opening to see that no one knows what's going on with nutrition ultimately. And everyone is just kind of confused and getting all of this crazy information. So the reason I decided to transfer to NYU was because I realized I loved New York and didn't want to go back to Binghamton. I was like, what if I get my RD? I had always kind of wanted to start like a granola bar company in like that whole like speech class thing. Like I would make like granola bars and like sell them, like pitch them and stuff. So I thought that would be cool, like such a brilliant idea. I thought if I were to start a food company and be an RD, because I just thought that was a good marketing ploy, basically. As I got into the classes and, like, started having other internships and experiences, loved other aspects of nutrition and being an RD, too.
Yeah.
So kind of evolved. But that's, like, where I started. And that's very much still involved in what I like the parts that I like about nutrition and health and wellness. But
those two letters, RD. I know this is something you've been wanting to become since probably I met you. Mm-hmm. But for those that don't know what that is or what that stands for and that what the world is like, could you kind of go a little bit into that as well?
An RD is registered dietitian, and it's a national credential in the U.S. Basically, the difference is anyone can be a nutritionist, but to be an RD, there's this set of qualifications that you need to fit. And not to say that anyone who's a nutritionist doesn't have any education, but that there just isn't that set of criteria that you need to meet. So like we're both nutritionists.
I was gonna say, so I could be technically a nutritionist.
Right. So that's what gets tricky, because then you have people kind of selling these messages online that aren't always based in evidence or are more based on personal experience, which is valuable in its own way, but it's not really substantial or not always. So to be a dietitian, you have to go to school, either your bachelor's or a post-bac in nutrition, and do these nine, they're called DPD courses, but they're like the core courses. And then you have to apply to this internship program, which is called the dietetic internship. Mm-hmm. And it's 1,200 minimum hours of supervised practice. To do that, like, you have to apply, and it's about, like, a 40% match rate or something of people who have already gone to school for this. And then you get placed in a program that normally have, like, 8 to 30 spots per program. And you pay for it. So it's basically another year of school. And then after that, during that year, you go through all different areas of, normally you go through clinical, which is like in a hospital, seeing patients who are admitted for various reasons, like surgery, ICU, general medicine. And then you go through community. So it could be maybe like a program like WIC or SNAP or food pantries. And then outpatient, which could be just patients like any of us who want to come and see a dietitian for any reason, like health promotion, you're referred from your doctor, any kind of thing. And food service. So you also work for, I did my program at Mass General where you work for 3 months in food service, which meant I worked in the kitchen of the hospital for a month. And then I worked in a cafe of the hospital for a month. And then, what's the last one? Oh, you work in patient food services. So basically, if you're a patient in a hospital, the food that gets delivered to you kind of overseeing that. So you work in all these different areas. It's a tough year. It's kind of like a medical, I call it like a nutrition residency because that just makes more sense to people. And then after you finish that, you sit for a board exam. So that's the last final thing. And then you get your RD letters after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds really intense.
A lot. Like, I guess it's kind of like PT and like OT and all of those different, like a PA. It's tricky because there's like definitely a rift between.
Yeah, I'm sure, right?
And that's why I say it's not to say that someone who's not an RD isn't very well educated and like, you know, knows so much about nutrition. Like, you can just have your master's or a PhD in nutrition or something and not be an RD.
Yeah.
But it gets tricky, especially with like social media and online and just how we're getting so much information about nutrition and health from people who just start to like drink celery juice in the morning or something and then decide that that's a great thing to promote to everyone. And then everyone just thinks that, you know, like just how kind of trends take off like that. So it just gets tricky.
Our conversation so far, I think you're very strategic about like how you think about your future and your personal journey and your career. And in terms of the Wellful, which I would love to talk about, could you tell us a little bit about how you came with the name?
Yeah, coming up with the name of something is it's really hard.
yeah, I agree.
I kind of made a list. I talked to a couple other people who had names of things, more like dietitians who had certain practices and stuff.
Yeah.
And what I decided to do, I don't know if I Googled this or not, but was just write down a bunch of words that I wanted to be involved. So I wrote down like whole, and I wrote down nourish, and I wrote down well and wellness and fully.
Like on paper.
Yeah. So, and then I just honestly just searched the registry of what was available and what URLs were available. And originally I wanted the well, or I just wanted well, because I thought, I mean, that's cool.
That's
but
cool,
obviously
that
was taken. And so then Wellful was kind of my way of cheating the system because it's not a real word. But I liked it because it was like wellness and then like F-U-L. I wanted to be like kind of words that end in F-U-L, but also like fullness and not wellness. A lot of the time can come from like a place of like restriction or like taking out things. Or that's kind of how people perceive nutrition of like, oh, what shouldn't I eat?
Yeah.
And I didn't want it to be that. Yeah. So now I love the name.
That's
but
great,
in the beginning, I was, it
a
was
a little hesitant.
Right. It's kind of just, you have to find something that you can
now it just
be yours. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I like it a lot.
How did you and why did you feel the need to start the Wellful?
Worked for, after I worked for the Green Smoothie Company, I worked for a lot of other food startups and dietitians in New York who were doing awesome stuff. And I would help them with like their social media or their brand strategy. And I loved contributing to their piece, but then I kind of just really wanted to have, I kept on pushing off that like I shouldn't have like a voice in this field or area until I was an RD because of all of those reasons. But then I went to an event there. It was like with an influencer, like a health influencer, and people were asking so many questions about specifically like, what they ate. They were like, okay, so after breakfast you have like how many scoops of collagen and you like work out this way how many times a day, which is really, really common when people share so much on social media, like people just want to, we want to mimic it because you think like that's like the secret sauce to health or something. And so I was kind of just really like rattled by it. And we're getting so many mixed messages. And I just wanted to, I guess I thought that I could be kind of a place where it was less like less about me kind of and more about just getting information out there and like kind of debunking trends and just being a relatively unbiased source of nutrition and health information, and then highlighting other people who are doing that too and who are good resources. So the summer of 2017, after I graduated, there was like this whole to-do with coconut oil. I don't know if you saw anything about it, but on social media, it was like this big thing. This article came out talking about, well, coconut oil is so popular right now.
Yeah.
So people are putting it on top of everything, but it's a saturated fat, which is fine. But it's, if you have heard of like the way we categorize fats, it's like good fats, bad fats. It's a saturated fat, which is something you want to like have less of in your diet. So anyway, it was this whole riff of like coconut oil is in everything, but then like now there's this other supporting research that also contributes to heart disease, which is fine, like, but basically it was just this big mass confusion thing.
Yeah.
So people were up in arms because everyone's been putting it on top of everything. And So that was when I first launched my newsletter, because I was like, okay, I'm like over it. This is too much.
I got to say something.
Yeah. So that was kind of when that was kind of like my last like push to actually start it. And I had already gotten into my dietetic internship. So I was like, okay, I'll be an RD in a year. So that was really what I guess.
Yeah. Coconut oil basically.
Yeah. Coconut oil really just pushed me over the edge. So yeah, that was my final straw.
In terms of like trends like that, how do they begin? Because I think influencers definitely play a big part in that. Yeah. But
it's so interesting. I don't know totally how they begin. A lot of them seem to be like pretty rooted in something that's been going on for a really long time. And then it seems like it just catches wind of someone who's really popular, someone who has a lot of influence, or someone writes an article on it. Celery juice, I've been like ragging on for months now, I think, because it's this thing where people are, I don't know if I should really go into it, but there's this someone who's like promoting it who has tons of influence, and it's totally spread over Instagram, over like mainstream media. It's like in a bunch of different juice shops that you'll go to, but it's not like it didn't exist 6 months ago. It was always there. I think like an influencer or someone who has just more
of
power.
Yeah.
Who's like more respected.
So in this world where information is spread really wide out and casts a really big net, you want to play a role in kind of like digesting the information yourself and then internalizing it, of course, and then you want to put out a message that's more uniform and unbiased? Is that kind of what you are trying to accomplish with the Wellful?
I would love it to be like one arm of it to be more of like lots of information, like articles and more regular articles than I could do as one person. I think like in the future, I would love to expand and have other people writing for it too. I call it mindful health. And what I mean by that is more just health and wellness and nutrition that's inclusive and is evidence-based, but also realistic. So I think if research comes out that, like kind of considering the research that's out there and then also considering how it is like accessible to a lot of people or realistic to actually jump onto or hear about. So that's kind of my goal with that. Yeah. So to be putting out more information like that and kind of debunk trends and kind of just talk about what evidence is behind them and what that actually means. Because even if we have evidence in rats or something, it doesn't mean that we should all be rushing to adopt some whole new way of eating.
Yeah. I want to give you the platform now to maybe talk about general. Do you mind debunking some like general theories that maybe some people have right now that you as an RD, you're like, no, that's not really true. You know, whether it's in a grocery mart context or not, maybe like a couple general ones.
Okay. So a couple that come to mind are, I'm really into like food labeling and how we talk about food, because basically as an RD and like with the Wellful, I'm big on our relationship with food. And like having a positive relationship with food, because one, we know that like me telling someone what to eat, first of all, it's not like one way of eating is going to work for everybody. It's just not real. And second of all, that person's relationship with food is huge to consider in any food that they're eating, because how you feel about yourself and how you feel about food like impacts all of your food behaviors. Mm-hmm. So, some marketing is things like clean. Like clean ingredients or something, because what is that?
What does that really mean?
What does it mean? Right. Yeah. And then it kind of creates this idea of, okay, well, these foods are clean, and that means they're like quote unquote good, but that implies that other foods are
dirty
and bad. So what does that mean? And then how does that impact how you eat those foods or eat other foods? You know, like it kind of all boils down into like this black and white thinking of like, okay, some foods are good, therefore I'm good. Some foods are bad, therefore I'm bad. And then you get into this whole cycle of like guilt around food. Yeah. And it's so common. And even if it's not explicitly saying clean, like there's a lot of other, like guilt-free is another one that I like. I wrote
you
a whole
article actually on labels. Does it say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Or can definitely say it on labels. Definitely say it in marketing.
Right.
Yeah, there's tons of popcorn brands and stuff that will be, like, guilt-free, like, eat it guilt-free. Halo Top, I talk about all the time, because if you look at their packaging, it says, so good, you can eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Probably we could talk about, like, appreciating, like, good food and, like, that food is supposed to taste good and, like, be enjoyed and be an experience and all these other things. And, yes, we need it for energy and, like, it can be health-promoting too, but eating isn't to be like tricking your body into like all of these things that these labels kind of promote. Sure.
So would a healthy diet be something that is a relationship where you have a positive and happy relationship with food, meaning like you can indulge in whatever you want to indulge in and you don't necessarily have to restrict yourself because you feel like you have to look a certain way or you have to feel a certain way? Would that be kind of
part of it. I think it like looks different for everybody.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that it's really common to think about what we eat as a direct reflection of like how we look. And one that's not really true, and it puts like just a lot of emphasis and pressure on foods, which like brings it back to that like good and bad thing.
And in terms of hospitality, which is a concept that I like to bring up in every episode, I have my guests kind of define what that word means to them. For you, when you hear that word, what does it mean to you? Like, what resonates with you?
I think of restaurants. I think of like having a positive experience or like an experience in like a hotel or a restaurant.
Right.
I think of like traveling.
Do you think it applies in the world that you're in terms of what you're doing with like the Wellful?
Yeah, I don't know like how directly.
Yeah.
I mean directly, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess how would you describe hospitality? Yeah.
For me, I think you're spot on with the name too. I think for me it was like when I think about that word, I thought about warmth because I think feeling and emotions is a big thing about hospitality. It's like, how do we make people feel? And I think that is also very prevalent in what you're doing because you want to make sure you're trying to put out a positive message.
Yeah.
And I think that's the number one thing about hospitality is like positivity equals good emotion. And then the other thing I think that I relate with what you're doing in hospitality, and you can always correct me if I'm wrong, but I think is taking this information and processing it in a way where the guest, or in your case, whoever is reading your content, is able to kind of internalize that as well.
Yeah.
You know, and you're processing that so that they can understand what you're saying. And the other thing you brought up that I think is cool is how you said there's no perfect diet because each individual and each person is different. And for me, like in a restaurant setting too, you know, just because a guest comes in, like the next guest comes in, I don't treat them the same way. Or sometimes, like, I'll be formal with one guest and I'll be informal with the other guest because maybe this first table that came in is, like, you know, four people of four business people and they're, like, literally just here to do business and maybe they're out at Le Masson Park just to show off. And, like, great, I'm going to give them that, like, 3 Michelin star formal professional service. And then maybe there's a couple on the other table and they are just here to have a great time. They just want to celebrate each other and they maybe don't want that stiff server that's going to come in and be awkward. You know, they want someone that's more personal, that's more, you know. So that I think is prevalent in what you're doing too, because I think you do a great job of personalizing that in terms of like, hey, like there's no necessarily a perfect diet. Like, and you said it yourself, like you're not in a place where you're telling people how to eat, right?
Right.
You're literally just putting out a message like, this is what's going on. Like, take it for what you will.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the correlation that I see. Like, would you say the same?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's a good comparison of kind of like that it's like an individual experience and you're catering it to each person. And
but it's being mindful. Like, being mindful is such a big thing in restaurants and hospitality. And I think literally that's part of your title as well. And the Wellful is about mindful eating. And I think that's a topic worth talking about too, is like being mindful of course, like in my opinion, like of the guests that's on the other side. But for you, it's just like being mindful of how people feel about certain experiences that they have in grocery, you know, marts or even restaurants with certain nutrition facts.
Right.
And I think that's such an important thing, like being mindful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think like mindful even in like enjoying your like if food specifically, even if like your experience or all like being present and like being able to enjoy it too.
Yeah. Like being in the moment and just like really taking that in.
Yeah.
Right. In terms of passion, because we did bring that up and that's what keeps you going, but why are you so passionate about nutrition and, you know, pursuing this path, which is a difficult one to say the least. And I think it's very unorthodox in a way because it's not drawn out for you in terms of like, Brenna, you go to school and then like, you know, you'll get this position and then you move up and up and that's that. Like, it's not really laid out for you, right?
Yeah.
So like, why are you passionate about this career path?
Yeah, I think it all kind of unfolded. And like, even in what I've, when I like got into the RD track, kind of, I didn't like the kind of traditional position in it is to work, or was, used to be, now it's a little bit different, but used to be to work clinically in a hospital.
Yeah.
For a couple of years or a longer, forever, and then kind of work into a private practice where, like, the two...
Like consulting or...
Or kind of just having, like, if I had, like, my own office space, basically, and, like, you came in and, like, saw me. And so that was kind of, like, when I first... And that was, like, that first dietitian who I ever saw. Yeah. Like, she did that. And that's kind of, like, the very, very traditional core of nutrition... Or of dietetics, and I'm sure someone won't like that. But that's, like, what I had... first been exposed to, but I never wanted that. Like, I always, I think just partly because of, like, how I got involved, like, from, one, like, being gluten-free and the kind of, like, being into that, like, food marketing and creating a food product, and then from, like, seeing the startup world of food and wellness, I always just kind of thought that it was possible, I guess, to kind of create something different and create... I loved, like, the passion and stories of other people and was just really attracted to that, so... I think just from being really lucky to work for people who, because pretty much everywhere I've worked, which is kind of weird, has been a startup, pretty much, and a lot of, like, female-owned startups, and some were, like, really new, some were more established, but I think that just kind of made me think that that was possible, or just that's where I, like, saw myself doing something like that, too, so I think it was just... a really lucky series of events that kind of let me have that exposure to that, that that was even possible. And then kind of both, I guess, believing that that was possible too, kind of led me to want to do that.
Yeah. Especially in the world that we live in now, in like the digital age, I think kind of shying away from the more traditional, like, physical office setting, you have such a power over how your information is distributed over like online or social media. And I think what you're doing is really cool. And it's also very in with the times. Like, let's be real. Like, people our age are not going to go into an office and sit down with someone. And I just don't think that's how we go about learning things. We would, I will open up my laptop and Google rather like what I need to be eating than like actually go see someone. Yeah. So I think it's really intuitive of you to catch on to that, and the fact that, like, I think there's more demand for people to process information that in the way you're presenting it than in, like, the traditional, like, office setting.
Yeah. And, like, virtual counseling's really big too, so, like, could be, like, at your desk at work and, like, see a dietitian.
In terms of what's next for you in the Wellful, and how can people kind of stay in touch with what you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram, probably most of social media, at The Wellful, thewellful. I have a website, thewellful.com, and there are, like, my main two kind of, like, bread and butter where I'm, like, posting the most information or, like, collaborating with people and posting, like, different articles on health trends or even, like, wellness guides and, like, like, I have an article that's, like, the best workout classes in New York, which is, like, one of my, like, highest ranking, like, you know, articles that people view. So I feel like it's kind of, like, encompassing all aspects of, like, mindful health. So, like, wellness, food, nutrition. But, yeah, I'm mostly on Instagram and the website. And hopefully expanding both of those and kind of combining, like, both just, like, encouraging messages and, like, kind of debunking different fads that come up. And I like to highlight other people who are in the space doing things that are like that. Like, I'm not trying to be, like, the one person. I think a lot of people are doing really great stuff. So kind of just being a resource to direct to other people who are also really good resources.
Yeah. That's awesome. So for anyone that I think is a novice like myself in terms of like our relationship with food or nutrition, I think you're a great person to follow. I think you do a great job of making things approachable. I love the positive messages that you're putting out. I think it's a good mix of like having really good quotes and phrases and like debunking things. So
thank you.
Definitely worth a follow.
Thanks, Arnold.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Of course.
I use an iPad for pretty much everything from editing and recording this podcast to staying on top of news and current trends. The one app that I use actually that's helpful for me at least is Flipboard. Flipboard curates the world's stories so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. You can choose from thousands of topics to personalize your Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7. Now, when you see these stories, you can just tap the plus button to add them to a private or public collection, and it's very simple. And you can get started now at flipboard.com. I hope you enjoyed another episode of With Warm Welcome. I wanted to take the time out to thank Brenna for coming in and catching up with me. I wanted to also thank Annalisa and the team at BetaWorks Studios for their hospitality and lending us their podcast lab. The next episode, we'll be sitting down with Amy. Amy is also a NYU graduate, graduated in food and nutrition, and started her own brand called Donna Chai. I'll see you next week on With Warm Welcome.